We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the room was absolutely quiet. The judges had left to talk amongst themselves and determine their decision. And we were waiting with our friend, who we had come to watch, perform a humorous speech for her Toastmasters club. As the judges were trying to decide who to award the prizes to, we waited. We had heard some humorous speeches. One woman talked about trying to impress a man that she wanted to date. And so when he asked her for a date, she quickly accepted. But it turned out that they were to go skiing, and she knew nothing about skiing, and so she wasn't very impressive. And then there was a woman who remembered when she was a teenager and had just gotten her driver's license. And she wanted to impress her mother in the fact that she could be responsible, she could take the family car. So she suggested that she do the shopping, do the grocery shopping. So her mother gave her the list, and she went to the store, and she came out with these two bags of paper bags of groceries, and it started pouring. And the bags started dissolving, and the food started spilling, and things were getting broken. And she rushed to the car, and she opened the door, and she threw it in the back seat, and it was making a mess. And then she realized it wasn't her car. So, and then our friend told about the challenge of beginning the dating scene as a senior citizen. Well, as we waited, we wondered what would the judges use to determine, you know, who was to get the award. We decided, you know, would it be on the timing of the person or their believability or their dramatic flair? Well, we would find out when the judges returned. In today's gospel, Jesus is the judge. And the story that is portrayed, which many see as a parable, is a scene of the end of the world. And Jesus is there, as I mentioned to the children, now in his glory. Some parts of this story are very predictable. Some parts are a little surprising. It's predictable, what is predictable is the criteria that Jesus uses to judge. It's how people treated one another. And that's very predictable because we can see that Jesus devoted his life to healing and feeding and teaching people, often on the fringes, often the least of these. Well, Jesus gathers people together, and then he divides them, like a shepherd would divide different animals from the flock, the sheep and the goats. And he first turns to the sheep, and he says, he praises them for helping him and feeding him and clothing him. And of course they say, you know, we didn't see you. And he said, well, whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And it reminds us how closely Jesus identifies with us, that when we suffer, he suffers. And when we are helped, he feels that help as well. Well, the sheep are surprised because they were not trying to earn anything. They were not like the rich young ruler. You might remember that story. He said to Jesus, what must I do to inherit? He said, but he was really trying to earn eternal life. And Jesus said, well, you know the Ten Commandments. He said, yes, I've kept those. And Jesus said, well, then go and sell everything you have and give it the money to the poor. And of course, he couldn't do that. He couldn't part with his money, so he walked off sadly. Well, in contrast to the rich young ruler, these sheep were just naturally people who wanted to help. They weren't counting the cost. They weren't even aware. It was just who they were. Maybe they were like, you know, healthy trees that therefore produce healthy fruit. And so to them, Jesus says, you have won eternal life. To you I give the kingdom. I think we can see from Jesus how important it is that when we help people, we, like Jesus, actually can identify with them. The Kansas City Community Kitchen, which has been run by the Episcopal Church for 30 years in Kansas City, recently changed its format. Now, instead of having people come, well, they've served the homeless and also people with low incomes. And now, instead of having these people come in and walk through the line and they dish up whatever they have on hand there, they invite the people to come and sit down at a table. It's like a restaurant. And the volunteers then are the waiters, the servers. And they take their order, and they probably don't have a lot of options on the menu, but they do have some options. And then they serve them. And with this new model, some of the chefs are people that actually have been homeless in the past and are now in a culinary training program. But you can imagine the difference this makes to the people being served. It preserves their dignity. They feel like they're in a restaurant, not in some place where the poor are being helped. But the surprising thing is that the people who serve them also can identify with them much better. And one volunteer said, you know, I will never again think that people who are homeless are that different from me. And I think some of you that have helped feed people, the homeless at Room at the Inn, have had that same feeling. You know, you can talk with these people, they're not so different. Well, so Jesus talked to the sheep, and then he talked to the goats. And of course, to them he said, you failed. You failed to help me when I needed it. You failed to feed me and clothe me. And of course, they said, well, we didn't see you. And Jesus said, when you turned your back on the least person, the least of the people in my family, you turned your back on me. And then he sent them to eternal damnation. And the severity of that punishment underscores how serious Jesus is about the way we treat one another. Well, when we're talking about punishments and rewards, you know, our curiosity is piqued. Who are we in this story? You know, we want to be the sheep, right? Could we be the goats? Well, many Bible commentators suggest that we are neither sheep nor goats, because neither the sheep nor the goats were believers. If you remember, the story begins with Jesus gathering the nations. And that word nation is important. It comes from the Greek word ethnos, like ethnicity, and that's understandable. But it was used in a different way. It was used to refer to people who were not us. So the Jews would refer to Gentiles as the nations. And Christians would think of non-Christians as the nations. And we see that Jesus used that word in that way. Chapter 24, he predicted the disciples would be hated by all nations because of Jesus' name, or that good news should be proclaimed throughout the world, a testimony to the nations. Or in that famous verse in chapter 28 where he says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. So clearly, nations are not believers, and the ones that Jesus is judging, therefore, are not believers. Which leads to a surprising thought. Is Jesus suggesting here that even people who are not believers but have led lives of love will inherit the kingdom of God? Well, if we're not the sheep and we're not the goats, then who are we? Well, some say we are the least of these members of my family, as Jesus refers to them. Now, we don't feel very downtrodden as Christians in this community, but the first people to have heard this written for them, the Christians in Matthew's community, were. They were persecuted, they were often poor. So for them to hear this, it gave them courage. It gave them the comfort of knowing that when they suffered, Jesus was with them, actually suffering with them. And people who tried to relieve their suffering would be rewarded. And people who were the reason for their suffering would be punished. Well, what do we learn from this gospel lesson, this parable this morning? Well, I think we learn two things. First of all, we learn that we are not the judges. God is. You know, I think it's so very easy to feel that we can look into the hearts of people. you know, even people we don't know, especially people that we don't agree with, maybe politically. And we can know that, you know, they are arrogant, they are selfish, they are stubborn. But what this suggests is that we really don't know. That judging should be left to God. But the second thing it tells us, in no uncertain terms, is how important it is to Jesus that we live lives of love. And I think it's awfully difficult, often difficult, to do that very thing. It often means to help people who are less fortunate than you. It means to take a risk. There was a story in the news recently about a man named Dan. He had lost his wife of many years, and they had done everything together. So when she died, he really felt lost. And he barely got out, and he forced himself one day to go to the grocery store. He was particularly depressed that day. He hadn't shaved in a couple days. He hadn't gotten a haircut for weeks. But he felt he had to be there, so he went to the store. And there in the produce department was a little girl named Nora. And she was just bouncing, and she came up to him and she said, "Hello, older person, it's my birthday today." And I mean, that just kind of broke into his depression. And to see this little girl so happy, he said, to see this child so happy to be alive, he couldn't help himself. And he said, "Well, hello, little girl, how old are you?" And then a conversation ensued. And pretty soon Nora insisted that her mother, Tara, take a photograph of them. So there's 81-year-old Dan and 4-year-old Nora standing in the produce department. And the mother, Tara, said that when she took that picture, she sensed that it was kind of a magical time, a magical moment. She knew that this man was really lonely, and she could see what change had happened. And so she posted the picture on Facebook. And one woman responded. She said, "I know Dan, and I have not seen him smile since his wife died." So Tara decided just then and there she would find out from this friend the phone number of Dan, and she called him and said, "Can we come and visit?" And Nora came, you know, and she was hugging Dan, and he was laughing. And Tara decided that Dan should become part of their family. Now, that took some courage, you know, especially for Tara, the mom, to break through her maternal protective instincts and allow her child to befriend a stranger. But maybe it helps to know that behind the face of every person who's needy is a Savior who loves us. When the judges came back at the speech contest, you know, we were all tensely waiting for their verdict. It was exciting to us that our friend had won first place. When Jesus comes back as the judge, we don't need to worry whether we see him at the end of our lives or at the end of the world. We don't need to worry about his verdict. Not that we haven't let him down many times in the way we've treated one another, but we don't have to worry about his verdict because Jesus is the judge, the one who gave his life to make certain that we would be with him forever. Amen.